We begin the current daf mesechta, Pesachim daf test. We begin on the top line of the Gemara, where the Gemara continues with the second Mishnah in this mesechta. And that continues on the theme of the first Mishnah in this mesechta, which spoke about the chiyuv bedika, the obligation to check one's house, one's premises, on the eve of the 14th of Nisan before Pesach begins. Our Mishnah continues on this theme and explains to us that although there's a chiyuv bedika, there are some times that we would not require someone to check over again, as the Mishnah begins. In Chesha, we're not concerned that when you checked one corner, and then you're coming to check the other corner of the premises, that shema that maybe in the time that you came to check that corner, maybe in the meantime, gira childa, that a weasel went, and then schlepped and dragged the chametz, mi bayis le bayis, umi makim le makim. Maybe it dragged it from when you went to one house and you checked it out, then you went to the other one, maybe in the interim, maybe then the weasel went and dragged chametz to the place which already was checked, and maybe you have to go ahead and check it over again. And that the Mishnah says no. Dimkein, because if you would be suspicious of such a thing, then michatz lechatz, then even from one courtyard to another courtyard, which Rashi explains doesn't mean actually a courtyard, rather means all the homes in the courtyard, which are called a courtyard, will be ear to ear, and from one city to another city, you could say the same thing. You could say, wait a second, I checked my house before my friend checked his house. Maybe after I checked my house, maybe the weasel went and dragged the chametz from my friend's courtyard to my courtyard, and therefore in Ladav HaSayf, there's no end to this, and therefore we don't have to be suspicious of such a thing. If we don't see any obvious things to the contrary, we say that what you checked was checked, and you don't have to suspect that in the interim that a weasel went and dragged Mohammed's into that. Which the Gemara explaining this says that it seems that time of the reason why we're not suspicious in our Mishnah, and that once you check, you don't have to go ahead and check it again, is Deloy Chazina Deshakos, because we did not see a weasel going ahead and dragging any chametz. But the inference is HaChazina DeShakel, but if we see that a weasel is carrying some chametz, that he brings it over here, that Chashinon, then we are concerned that maybe the chametz is still here because we saw him, like we just checked the whole house. And then look at this, there's a weasel going in with chametz in his mouth into the house. That then you would be suspicious, Obay Bedika, and you would have to do Bedika. On that, the Gemara asks, Mamai, why would it be, even if we see the weasel bringing chametz into the house, Nemachalte, we should say and assume that he ate it up, and there's no reason to check, even though we saw him bringing it in. Because Milaytz not, didn't we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Olos that says, Meduris Ha'akim Tamei, the abode, the place where an idol worshiper lives, the house becomes Tamei. And the reason is, as Rashi explains, because they bury their stillborns in their homes. And the halacha of a non-Jew, an Akum, they convey Tumah when they're dead, even the Tumas oil according to the Rabbanan, and according to Rabbi Shimon Yoichi, that even though he says that the kavarim, the graves of idol worshippers are not metame, but he does agree that with maga, with touching, and masa, with carrying, that it does convey Tumah, because the only thing that it's excluded, according to him, is from the Tumah of oil, because they're not called Adam, like the Jewish people are called, and therefore, there's not Adam Kiyomas B'oil, they don't convey Tumah in the oil. However, they do convey Tumah regarding maga and masa. So therefore, their dwelling places become a place where there's the Tumah that's conveyed over there, because we assume that they buried their Nefilim there. Now, Vakama Yishabamad, and the Mishnah there explains that how long do the non-Jews have to live there in that apartment, v'heya mother tzarech bedika, and that dwelling place should require bedika. That is when the non-Jew leaves, that the Yisrael wants to go ahead and live in there, that he would have to check to make sure that there are no stillborns buried there, or else there would be tuma in the dira. The Mishnah says 40 days, and that's because the formation of a child takes 40 days, and less than that, it's not considered a child to convey tuma, and therefore it's 40 days. And then the Mishnah says, V'afa pishein l'isha. Now this is in spite of the fact that it was just a bachelor living there, even though he doesn't have a wife. Still, as Rashi explains, since their idol worshippers, their chashad, they're suspected on znus and promiscuous activity, and therefore we suspect that even though he didn't have a wife, there was a woman there, and therefore that she had a navel, possibly a stillborn, and therefore we would have to check the home if the Jew would want to live in there because of the suspicion of the tumah. However, the Mishnah concludes and says, V'chal mokim shechulda v'chazir choyin l'halach, but any place where a weasel or a swine could go, and it's tzarech bedika. There, that type of apartment, since this weasel could get there, does not have to be checked. And the reason is because if the stillborn was thrown over there in that apartment, the swine or the weasel would go ahead and dig and eat up the remains of that stillborn, and therefore there would be no chiyuv bedika. Now the question is, so we see clearly from this mission in Alois, that even if you see clearly that there was the forbidden item, and which in our case is the chametz, and over there in the olis is the stillborn that conveys tumah, but if a swine or if a weasel could get there, we say that it ate it all up. So therefore, over here in our Mishnah, similarly, we should say, even if you see the weasel going with the chametz, there should be no problem, because we say he definitely ate it up. And then the Gemara answers the first teretz in the Gemara is Amr Bzeira Loi Kasha. Because this Mishnah Olis that says that you don't have to do a bedika is bebasar. That's by flesh, where definitely the weasel and the swine ate it up, and nothing's going to be left over. But v'ha over here in our Mishnah, belachem is toma with bread. As the Gemara explains, bebasar loi mishayru. Flesh, meat, the weasel will not leave over anything. And therefore, by Olis, we say that even if there's a stillborn, we say it's going to eat it up. Belachem is shayru, regarding our case of our Mishnah, which we're told, malchametz, since it's toma bread, there they don't necessarily eat it all up, and therefore it would require another bedika if we see the weasel going in with the piece of bread. Another teretz the Gemara gives, Amar Rava, the second teretz is, haimai. In other words, what is the question exactly? And basically what Rava is saying is, that even if you would say that even by flesh, there's a possibility that the meat would be left over, still there would be nothing wrong over there to be suspicious and suspect by the Mishnah over there in Olis, which even if there's a little piece of flesh, it shouldn't be a problem because of the stillborn conveying tumah. Because he explains as follows. Bishle Mahasim, very well understood over there in the Mishnah in Olis, where there it's just a suspicion. And that is, Eimer Hava, Eimer Loi Hava, that say maybe there was a stillborn, maybe there was no stillborn, we don't know for sure, it's just he lived there 40 days, and possibly he had this woman over there which maybe had a child, and then after 40 days it would be a stillborn and maybe they buried it. And therefore, since we say that it's common to have the weasel over there, so then we suspend it in a lenient fashion, and we say that the imtim t'loy mahavan, that even if you say that there was this whole scenario that you created, that maybe there was a stillborn, and then they go ahead and they bury it because that's what they do with their stillborns. Then we say that maybe the weasel ate it up, and that is, you're right. Although it's a suffik achil, meaning we don't know if it definitely ate it up, because even my flesh, sometimes it could leave over the meat. But since it's already at least a suffik achil that maybe ate it up, that could remove from the suffik of the possibility that it was thrown over there, similar to what's called a svek sveka. First of all, maybe there was a stillborn. We don't know for sure. And even if it was a stillborn, then maybe it was totally consumed, because it could be the chol that ate it all up, although that's not definite. So that's enough to say that the suffik will be mighty from the suffik of the fact that there was even a stillborn over there. Aval hacha, but regarding over here in our Mishnah by Chametz, where the question was, which we had learned from the Mishnah in Olis, that we said, wait a second, even if we see if the chol is bringing it in, literally breaking into the house, we should still say that it ate it up, as we had asked from the Mishnah in Olis, where we say, oh, we assume that it was eaten up totally by the chulda. That's not true, because Devandai, over here, it definitely was, because the chazina de shakal, we see that the chulda, because that was the inference from our Mishnah, it's only when we say stam. Generally, we say that we're not going to require bedika, but we see it's actually brought in. We said that the inference is that you would have to check, because that's because you actually saw him bringing in the chametz. And on that, miyemer da'achalti, because now you're going to say, who said that he ate it all up? Because we said now, according to Rava's teretz, even by meat, even by flesh, we'll say not necessarily was totally eaten up. And therefore, ultimately, it's like a case of have a suffix. It's a case of doubtful elimination of the chametz. Uvadai, and a case of definite chametz that was here, as we said, because we're talking about a case of vadai gara, that I for sure dragged it into the house. We're saying we saw that. And therefore, the halachic dictum of it ain't suffic, that we do not apply a doubtful heter, that to be mighty that should exclude this house, midei vadai, from a definite prohibition. And therefore, that's the way Rava's approach to resolving the contradiction is by saying you can't compare the two cases, not because one is meat and one is bread, as the first teretz in the Gemara, but rather because how could you compare the two cases? There it's a suffic and the suffic. Maybe there was a stillborn, and therefore, the maybe was totally eaten up is enough to remove the iser. Here it's a vadai iser, because we see the chametz was being brought in, and only a suffik that it was consumed. And therefore, ein suffik mitzi medeva. To which the Gemara asks now, in this fundamental principle of Rava, the ein suffik mitzi medeva, is it really true that you say that a doubtful heter will not remove from a definite iser? But Tanya learned the Braisa, it seems to indicate not like that. The Braisa says, chaver shemes, regarding a tamachacham that passed away, v'nich magur malei peres, and he left over a storehouse full with produce. Now, v'afile hein b'nei yoyman, even if it was just done that day, and that is, it's recognizable that today it was smoothed out, so it was just finished. Yet in spite of that, we say, harehin b'cheskes musukon, we say it has a chazakah, it has a definite status of that it was fixed. In other words, all the trumas and ma'is, everything that had to be done to it, that would undo it from being tevel, was definitely done to it. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, v'ahoch, but over here, and that is, since it has all the qualifications, that it was smoothed out already, and it's already in the house, the vadai tvili hani peri, and therefore we say that it's definite that this produce already contracted a halachic status of tevel, because A, it has the status that it was finished all the work that was done to it with the miruach, with the smoothing out. That's one characteristic that's necessary to become tevel. It has the second one too, that it was what's called roye pnei habayis. It already saw the entrance of the household that it got into the house, and therefore has a chalois, it has acquisition of the name of tevel from that time that it came in through the front door. And therefore, you have again a case of definite tevel, which is a definite iser. Besafik mu'usarin, besafik loy mu'usarin, and all you have is doubt. Maybe the ma'isers were taken off, maybe not. In other words, we don't know for sure that this chaver, that this Talmud Chacham, took off the necessary tights and ma'isers that are necessary. And yet, in spite of that, we see from the Braisa that a ka'asi safik, that this safik comes umaitzi, and it excludes, it removes these produce midevade from the definite status of tevel, because we go that the majority of Talmid Chacham, of Chaverim, that they take off their Maisis right away, before it leaves their hand, in other words, right away. But ultimately, at most, it's still a Suffolk, even though there's a Rive, and therefore we see that although it's a Vada Yisr of Tevel, the Suffolk of this Talmid Chacham is removing it from the Yisr. How could that be if Rabbi just said, Ein Suffolk Maisim Devade? And then the Gemara says, no. Hasam Vade Uvadehu. There, it's a case of definite iser, but definite heter. And that is just like it's so obvious to us, that it had the status of tevel, as we said, because it, A, was smoothed out, and B, because it came into the house. It's also so obvious to us that maisis were taken off, and not that it's a maybe and that we would have to go after a majority. Rather, there's a chazaka that's definite on all chaveim, on all Talmid Chacham, that they were sure took of maisis. As the Gemara says, the Vade Masri, for sure he took of Maisa. Chazaka al Chaver. There's an assumed chazaka on the Talmud Chacham, that nothing is removed from his property that does not have this status of that all the Maisas were taken off of it. And therefore, although it was just smoothed out that day and then he passed away, we say that there's a chazaka definitely that the maisa was taken off, and therefore it's not a question. Of course it's going to be kosher because it was a vadai that's moitziv mavad. V'iboyseima, and another approach the Gemara brings to answer this question on Rava that we see from the Braisa, it seems to be a suffix that it's being moitziv mide vadai, the other way around. That suffix was suffixu. The reason why it's going to be kosher, and that is that you can consume it, is because it's a case of maybe iser, a doubtful iser, with a doubtful heter removing it, which that's okay because as long as it's not suffik maitum devada. And that is just like we're doubtful if maisa was taken off or not, as we said, although there's a roi, but it's not definite. Here also we can be doubtful if it ever acquired, contracted the name of tevel on it. And that is, although it seemed to be obvious as the Gemara had assumed, but Dilma Me'ikara, emaloi t'lei t'vili. We could say that maybe it never acquired the name of Tevel in the first place. It doesn't have that halachic status, and that is although we see that it is smoothed out and it's in the house. But however, you could say that it was done kreb oishia. Tell Rabbi Yishia that Rabbi Yishia said, ma'arim adma t'vuasa. A person could go ahead and be crafty, could to do like a trick, so to speak, regarding his produce. U'machnise b'moichala. And he could bring it into the house with its chaff still on it. And then only later when it's in the house to winnow and to smooth it out. And therefore, since the obligations of tevel, which then require the person to take off trumas and maisis, are only chal when it sees the entryway of the house, as the Gemara Bava Metzia says on Daf Peches Mabez. Now this case, regarding this produce, when it saw the face of the house, in other words, as it was coming in, it didn't have the Gemar Malachi. It wasn't completed yet in all its required activities to it because it was coming in with the chaff, with the outside part in it, to acquire the name of Tevel. And therefore, only when it was finished in its operation, which was already in the house, that's not considered being Roy Pnei Habayis. It's only when it was seen that when it was coming in through the entry, as Rashi quotes from the Braisa Masechtas Brachos, that the earlier generations, they would bring in their produce through the front door, so to speak, to be chayv and meiser. And now what people do is they bring it through the roof, through the courtyards, through these other enclosed areas to exempt themselves from the chiv of meiser. And therefore, Rashi explains that there was never a chiv of tevel in the first place. And that is why, in our case of the Braisa, the Yairish, this inheritor of this chaver that passed away that day, could eat it, even achilas kva, an established regular eating from it. And as Rashi says, don't say that there's no chiv of tevel for achilas arad, which is what the halacha is always, which is really the halacha of Rebbeisha. That is, you can say that if it came into the house without having the gemar malacha, so then that halacha is you could eat it temporarily, but you're never allowed to eat achilas kva. So Rashi explains that no, the reason why Achilas Kvaz Aser before the establishment of the threshing, that is when you completed smoothing out and doing all the operations to the produce, that's only a rabbinic Iser, because Midrash, as we explained, as long as it came into the house without being finished beforehand, it'll never have the Chiv. And therefore, since it's Iser Rabbanan, regarding that, we rely on the Chazaka that the Chaver had taken of Meiser, even if you'll say it's a Suffolk, that'll be enough for a Suffolk Rabbanan to be Lekula. However, ultimately, we're going to allow, in this case, even Achilles Kavah, because again, it's at most a Suffolk Rabbanan, and the Suffolk will be made from a Suffolk, which will allow it to permit on the biblical level regarding the Chiv of Tevel, because maybe he never got Tevel in the first place, as we said, because maybe he did this Harama, which Rabbi Yishir permits. And that is as Rabbi Yishir's halacha, which applies in general cases, not just in our case, which his statement concludes, Kedesh Tehei Behem Toicheles. And that is to allow that a person could be crafty and do this trick and come into the house when with still its chaff on it, so that his animal could eat even a regular full-fledged kvias, a full-fledged established meal, because as long as there was never a shame, a name of geirin on a complete product, it doesn't have the status of tevel on it, and it's not going to be forbidden eating in a what's called nachila arai, a temporary type of way. Now, all eatings of one animals was never decreed on because of Achilles Kva, as the Mishnah Masechtas Peah teaches that one could feed his animal, his wild animals, and his birds, upatur min ha-maiser, and similarly that would exempt someone from maiser until he smooths it out. However, in general case, a regular person that although it doesn't have a shame of tevel min ha-tayri, as we explained, which is that's why this case is a case of suffik tevel, because maybe he did this of bringing it into the home when it was still had the chaff on it, which if someone actually does that, that there's not going to be a shame tevel min ha-tayri. However, even before it was smoothed out, it is forbidden to eat Achilles Kva, again, but not in our case, which we allowed the Irish to eat it in a regular fashion, even Achilles Kva, but that's because we have the chazak of the chaver. But again, that was the reason why the Gemara gave a different answer. Originally, the Gemara said that, oh, the reason why it's not a problem to rub because it's vade vade. For sure it's tevel, yes, but for sure he had done it. Now the Gemara's answer, the second answer is no, they're both suffic. Because we don't know for sure that it was tevel. It could be done in a fashion, which people generally do. Here we don't know if he did that. So therefore it's a case of suffic is suffic. Some people actually do that on purpose. And they bring it into the home with the chaff on to get it out of the chiv of maestros. However, midrabanan, because we're concerned about different fashions, we say that a person cannot eat a chilis kva that way, can only chilis arai. But in our case, which we're saying at most is suffic, and we have the chazaka, that maybe the chaver had done that, we allow the Yairish to even eat Achilles Kva, and therefore again there's no question on Rav from this, because either it's a case of Vade Vade, or it's a case of Suffolk and Suffolk. Now the Gemara continues to ask on this halachic statement of Rav that the Ain Suffolk Meitzim Devade is really true, that you never find that a Suffolk will, a doubtful hetu will exclude it from a definite Isra, but by the time we learn the Brais, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, there was an incident with a maidservant of one of the more powerful people who was a Jewish person in the place of Riman. That she threw a stillborn into a pit. That's how she got rid of the child that didn't make it. We continue on to Amud Beis. And then a kohen came to look at the child at the edge of the pit to see if this child, the stillborn, was a male or a female. Now, this Kayin was either a relative or he was someone that was in that household, and they sent him to tell the mother what status that stillborn had so that they should be able to differentiate between the Tumas and Taharas that there are for a male, which are different than the days of Tumah Tahara that there are for a female. Now, this Kayin did not recall, however, although they seem to be concerned about the halacha to know what type of status she has in her Tumah, but he forgot that he's warned regarding the halacha of Nefesh Le'itama. He's not allowed to defile himself with the impurity, which is called the Tumah of Oil, when he's going to be standing over the stillborn. He's going to get a Tumah of Oil from being over the airspace of that stillborn. So he looked into the pit, but he didn't see the stillborn. And then this story came in front of the Chacham, Vitaruhu, and they said that he was pure from the Tumah of Oil of standing over the mess of this stillborn. And the reason why they said is, because this a weasel and a bardless are found over there, and that is generally the holes of the chulda and the bardless have an airspace of at least a tefach, and therefore it will not go up any higher than that. And that is, they drag the carcass, the corpse, or anything that's dead meat, they drag it into the hole. And therefore, they said that this kohen, although he was entering into that ear space, he didn't enter the ear space of the tumah, because we say that definitely that what happened is that the chulda went and dragged it into the hole. So therefore, the Gemara asks, here we have a case where definitely it was placed. We have the stillborn that was placed into the pit, and it had a tumah, it just wasn't sure if it was a male or female. Now, we don't know for sure if it was dragged into their hole or not at that time, because although later on they went to check and it wasn't found there anymore, but we say that at that time, it wasn't definite that it was dragged in or not. And yet, still we see that the Chum said that he was pure, because we say that the doubt of maybe that the Chulda went and dragged it into the hole, he couldn't see it, but we're not sure that it wasn't there. And therefore we say that although it's a doubt, it will remove him from the definite Tumah of the stillborn that was for sure thrown there originally. And that contradicts Rava's statement that Ein Safek Meitzim Devadai. And that the Gemara says, no. Lo Yitema She'etila Nefel Abar. Don't say that it's a case of a vadai tumah that was there, because we don't say that she threw a stillborn into the pit. She threw something that resembled a stillborn into the pit. And ultimately, it's just a case of doubtful iser, and therefore a doubtful heter, which we don't know for sure if the cholder removed it, can remove from that doubtful iser. Which the Gemara explains by way of a question. But we learned in the Braisa that it wasn't a suffik iser. In other words, we knew for sure that this was a nafil, as the Bryce had stated. We just weren't sure how long the tumor was going to be, what type, in other words, for the mother that had given birth, to see if it was a male or a female. But it seems that it was a definite. So how can you say that it was a suffic nafil? And that the Gemara answers, hochikama. What the Bryce was saying was as follows. First of all, that the kohen went to check, leide im ruach apil, to see if she had just miscarried, just an embryonic sac filled with air, that maybe there was nothing there, im nefil apil, or maybe that there was something there, that it was a stillborn that does have a chiv tumah. And then it was ve'imtim to loim, and then if you say the nefil apil, that it was a stillborn, that it was a full-fledged child that does kamei tumah, then the question was, leidem zachuhu v'im nekevet, to see if it's a male or female, and therefore it was ultimately a suffix if it's a nafil or not. And therefore the suffix heter of the chuldan bardlis dragging it out of the pit was enough to give the chacham a right to be matur that kayin from contracting the tumah of tumasah. Now that's why it's not a question of the Rav, because the case of suffix and suffix. And again, as the Gemara had done with the previous question, the Gemara says, Hasan Vadi Vadahu. The reason why it's not difficult over there, because although you're right, it is a definite tum over there, because we know she threw in a nafil, it was a stillborn, and therefore it's definite tumma. However, it's a definite heter too. And the reason is, keeping the chuldo bardless mitzuin shem, since the weasel and the bardless are found over there in the pits, Vadegaru Bahishait. We say that it was definitely dragged at that time, and that is, we say that they have a chazaka that regarding the weasel and the bardless, that they be sure dragged it, and it's not the same as our Mishnah, which we said that it's only going to be a suffix. And the reason is because nehi d'shiyur mishayrim, although as we learned as the inference from our Mishnah that we said, but if we see him, if we see the weasel taking in food item, which in our case of a Mishnah is chametz, we said we are concerned. Because although we don't say that the item that he dragged was definitely eaten, however, but one thing we do know is migra mias vadigarm bihishaita. We know that it was definitely dragged at that time. And that we could say that it definitely dragged it into its hole, and that's enough for that at that time to provide the vaday of a heter, because that we know for sure it drags. In other words, in our Mishnah that we said it's a suffix if it's going to consume what it dragged, but it's definitely going to drag what it's dragging. And therefore, in regarding the case of this brisa, where we say that it's a vaday heter, although again the weasel might not, the chulda might not necessarily eat what it took, and it might leave over, but it definitely drags, and therefore that's enough to make it a vaday heter. Which the Gemara brings Lishna Achrin, another version which essentially says the same thing. Although we don't say it definitely ate it up, as in the case of our Mishnah, because the rest of our Mishnah, even when you see the weasel taking it into the house, the chametz, it would not require bedikah, but we say it does if you see it for sure, because it's not definitely going to eat it up. However, vadigaru l'charayim, we say that it definitely dragged it into its hole, it takes it in and stores it there, so although it might not eat it up, it definitely takes it, and therefore when the kohen was leaning over, it definitely was not leaning over and creating an oil over the stilbon that was thrown in there, and therefore it's a case essentially of vaday, and therefore it's not a question on rabbah. Now the Gemara goes back to the din of our Mishnah. And that is, in our Mishnah we said that regarding that if it's a suffix, we're not going to assume that if we didn't see any evidence to the contrary, that in the interim, that then the Chulda went and brought in the chametz over there, and it was only the Gemara had said that if we see for sure, then we're going to say that we have to check for the chametz again, either because bread is different than meat, or because that's going to be a case of suffix being made to the avadah. But now the Gemara asks on the Ikra din of the Mishnah, is it really true that in the Stam case, that we don't concern ourselves to think that maybe in the interim that a weasel dragged in some chametz? Well, Katani say, if we learned at the end of our Mishnah, which is the continuation later on the next daf, that says, Mashmeshai, when a person leaves over, after he does the bedikah, he still has to eat breakfast the next morning. So what he leaves over for himself to eat, he should place in a hidden area. And the reason is, Shalai Yitzarach B'dikah Achar, it should not require another B'dikah afterwards. If you leave it out in the open, something might happen. Now, what is that? Obviously, we're concerned that maybe a Chulda might come and drag the Chametz and bring it to a different place. So you see that one would suspect, even if we don't see evidence to the contrary. And then the Gemara says, Amabai, the first Teretz Gemara brings is Loi Kashna. Ha, the Seifa of our Mishnah, in other words, the coming Mishnah, which says that one is concerned, is Bar Ba Aser, is on the 14th of Nisan. Ha, but our Mishnah is B'shloisha Asa is on the 13th of Nisan. In other words, the Ration, our Mishnah was talking about that we're not concerned is when you checked on the 13th, as the Gemara explains. B'shloisha Asa on the 13th of Nisan, the Shchiach Rifta B'kulibata, that there's bread all over. In other words, it's available for the weasel. And therefore, it sees all the bread around, so it's not concerned to save and storage it because it sees it could get more. Then we say that it definitely will eat it up, and therefore we're not concerned, generally, if we don't see any evidence to the contrary, that we'd have to check, because even if it would take it, it would definitely eat it up. And therefore, loy matzni, it doesn't hide it. However, ba also regarding the 14th of Nisan, which that's the case explicitly of the Sefer, which on the Kamei Daf, it says it's Torman on the 14th, to loy shchicha rifta b'kuli bati, where then there's no bread around, then the weasel senses that. So then, therefore, it will conceal it, will hide it, and therefore we're concerned that it's not going to eat it all up, and therefore we have to be chayshish l'shir for leftover pieces, and therefore one would have to go check if one did not conceal his chametz that he left over to eat on the morning of the 14th. To which the Gemara asks, Amar Rava, v'chichul de neviyahi? Is the weasel a prophetess? Which that's a play on the, because one of the neviyahis was chulda, but he's saying it in the way of, Does the weasel know to sense this, to see the future? First of all, the weasel knows, oh, today's the 14th of Nisan. Not going to bake till the evening when it's going to be time for matzah. Therefore, it leaves over and it hides. Is that really true? Does the weasel really know all these things? And therefore, Elam HaRav, rather Rav says, to resolve the contradiction of our Mishnah regarding our Mishnah on this daf and the coming daf, do we assume, without evidence to the contrary, that a Chulda dragged in chametz or not? That seems to be a contradiction. On that, Rav says, Masha Mishayir Yan Chene B'tzin, the reason why the coming Mishnah says that what you leave over, you have to put in a hidden place, is Shema Tita Chulda B'faneinu, is because as we're seeing, we might see a weasel come and take it from in front of us. And when we see, we definitely have to be suspicious. And therefore, that's going to require a bedikah. But just stam, without seeing any evidence to the contrary, as our Mishnah says, one would not have to be suspicious. The reason why we have to hide is because as we're seeing, a chulda might come and then it's going to mess up everything. That's why you want to put in a hidden place, but not because we would suspect without evidence to the contrary. So the Gemara says, Tanika Vasei de Rav, similarly you have a braisa that seems to say like Rav is pshat, that says, if someone wants to eat chametz after he does the bedikah, in other words, he cleaned up the whole house, but he still has to, he wants to leave over some for breakfast the following morning, what should he do? So, what he leaves over, he should put in a hidden place. That we should not have a circumstance where the weasel is going to come and take it from in front of us. Then you have to check the whole house because you're not going to know where the chulda took it to. Rav Mari gives a third teretz to say that the reason for the sefer, the next Mishnah, for being chayshish, even though in our Mishnah it's clear that one does not have to be suspicious, generally, is gezerish ameinich ester v'yimtzeteshet. It's a case that we're concerned about, that maybe you're going to put down the 10 pieces that you're leaving over, and you're only going to find 9 pieces, we here definitely have to be concerned, because here it's obvious that one of the pieces were taken, and that is why the coming Mishnah says you want to hide it, because if you end up seeing 9 pieces, that although generally we don't suspect, we don't see the chulda, but here obviously something happened because there's one piece missing, so obvious it would seem that a chulda came and took it, and that's why it required bedika. But you're right, if nothing's missing, and we don't have any evidence to the contrary, then it would be like our Mishnah said, that there is no reason for concern. Now the Gemara continues with what Rashi calls piska halachas, general statements regarding the topic of a Mishnah, if one thing would require another bedika afterwards. So our Gemara begins. Tesha tziburin shel matzah v'echad shel chametz. The first case the Gemara talks about, if there's 9 piles of matzah, and there's 1 pile of chametz. V'asa achber v'shakal. Now a mouse came and took a piece, and they came into the house in front of us. V'lo yidinun im matzah shakal y'chametz shakal. We don't know if it took a piece of matzah or took a piece of chametz. Now, therefore, the question is, since we see the mouse coming into the house, we would have to check, or maybe it took a piece of matzah. How do we know? Would this require bedikah or not? But the Gemara says, "Hainu teshach anoyus." That would be the same case as the case of 9 stores, which the Gemara will quote later on, that the halacha is that what's called whatever is kavu, whatever is established in its place, and that it was taken from the place where it was established, that that's where the piles or the stores were, there we do not go after the rov, after the majority. Rather, we consider that status as what's called mechza mechza, a 50-50 chance. And therefore, since it's going to be 50-50, it's going to be an even suffix, even doubt, we say regarding Yisurim that we go l'chumah, and therefore one would have to check in such a case, although 9 of the piles are matzah and 1 is chametz, we would have to suspect that maybe it's chametz, and we would have to check the whole house. However, the Gemara says, pirish, if one of the pieces separated from one of the piles to one of the corners, and we don't know from which pile it separated from, and then v'asa achber v'shakal, then the mouse came and took that piece that had already been separated and brought into the house, hainu seifa, that would be like the seifa of that brisa, which of the case of the 9 stores, where if it didn't take it, if a person didn't take it from where it's established in the 9 stores, then we do go after the majority, and therefore the equivalent in our case would be that we would not have to do bedika because we would assume that it's from the majority of the matzah piles. Ditnan, which the real gerse is Ditanya, like we learned in the Brisa, that these 2 dinim that we mentioned regarding if it's where it was from the pile that it took, that it has aloha as 50-50 and you would have to go to Chumra, versus if it was taken away from the pile first, and then the mouse or the person in the equivalent of the 9 stores, that it would, you would say after the rive, is brought in this Brisa. It says, Teshach Anuyas, if there are 9 stores, Kulam Mechim Basar Shchut, all them sell kosher slaughtered meat. The Echad Mecheres Basar Nevela, and one of them sells non-kosher, in other words, not properly slaughtered meat. Now, a person bought from one of the stores, and that is, he went into the store to buy the meat. Now, he doesn't know from which store he bought. Someone later told him that, oh, you know, not all the kosher stores are kosher. One of them is not. He says, I don't know which store I bought from. And that, the halacha is, that doubt is going to be forbidden. Because although there's 9 out of 10 are kosher, whatever is considered kavua, that is in its proper place where it always is established, we have the halacha, what's called mechza mechza, it's considered 50-50, and that's learned out on the Gemara in the first parak in Maseches Ksubis, on Daf Tesvav, and Manaf explains the rationale behind that. And however, the Braisa says, ubenimtza, however, if a piece of meat is found on the floor between the stores, that's going to have a different halacha. There you say halacha acharoiv, there you go after the majority, because that's what's called the kol de parish, whatever is separated, we say meruba parish. It separates from the majority. Now, since it's separated, we don't give it the halach of kavur that it's in its established place, because it's not where it always was. It's removed from it. And therefore, there we say that you would go after the majority and the meat would be considered kosher, which again, the equivalent in our case would be that if the first piece of whatever it is, of this wheat, either if it's matzah or chametz, was first removed, and then the mouse took it, then one would not require bedika, because we would assume that called the parsh or whatever was removed, meruba parsh, and therefore it would not require bedika. Second case the Gemara brings is shnei tziburin, if there are 2 piles, echad shel matzah ve'echad shel chametz, one is of matzah and one is of chametz. V'lefneim shnei batim, now in front of these 2 piles are 2 houses, echad bodig ve'echad shein bodig, one was already checked and one was not checked, v'asur shnei echbar, but now 2 mice come. Echad shakal matzah ve'echad shakal chametz, one takes from the matzah pile and one takes from the chametz pile. V'lo yidin hai l'hai ayil v'hai l'hai ayil, we don't know which one this mouse went into and we don't know which house this mouse went into. Heiner Shtekupis, the Gemara says, this is the equivalent of the case of 2 boxes, and that is, we could learn up from this Mishnah that one, we would be lenient and we would say in a lenient fashion, and we would suspend it in saying that the one that's chametz went into the non-checked house, and therefore it would remain with its status of obviously having suspicion of chametz. And however, the matzah one is the one that went into the one that was already checked, and therefore that would not require bedikah, because we assumed that the matzah one was taken into. Ditnan, which the right gears is the tan, like we learned the price, shti kupois, two boxes, achas shel chulin and achas shel truma, one is of chulin and one is of truma, v'lefneim shnei stoin, now in front of these two boxes, are two measurements of produce, echad shel chulin and echad shel truma, one is of chulin and one is of truma. Now, v'naflu elu toich elu, now these piles of produce fell into these boxes. And that is, we know that definitely one pile, one measurement of produce fell into one box, and the other one fell into the other box. Now, we don't know which one fell into the other. We have a box of chul and a box of truma, and in front of it, a pile of chul and a pile of truma, mutarin. We say that the produce of the boxes of the chulin one that were initially chulin, we say they're still going to maintain their status of being permitted for a zar, a non-kohen, as it originally was. And even if the box doesn't have what's generally required to have a 100-to-1 ratio of chulin to be mevatel the saw of truma, although it doesn't have it, still it's going to be mutter. And the reason for that is shani oimer, because I say this is the assumption that we do chulin to chulin nafla. We say that the chulin produce is the one that fell into the chulin box, but truma the truma nafla, but truma tech truma nafla, and that the truma produce fell into the truma box. And therefore, what we see is that we suspend leniently, and we say, we assume halachically, that the permitted one fell into the permitted one, and the forbidden one of truma fell into the forbidden one. Oh, and that's in spite of the fact that obviously you could say the opposite. So therefore, the Gemara says that here also we're going to be toila leniently, and we're going to say that the chametz one went into the one that wasn't checked, and the matzah one went into the one that was checked, and therefore each one will maintain the status that it always had, similar to what we find before. On that, the Gemara asks, how could there be a proof from that case of truma? Maybe, when do we say that I say, in other words, this assumption, which is definitely arbitrary, but we say that halachically, that the permitted one is going to maintain its permitted status, and we continue on to top of Yoram and Alf, but truma drabbanan. In the case of truma, which is only rabbinic, which is, let's say, bizman hazeh, which is what that case of the price is talking about, and therefore they will say that, oh, it's rabbinic, so therefore we'll say that it will maintain its cheskes kashas, and we'll say that the one that was kosher fell into the kosher one, or the permitted one into the permitted one. But chametz nareis amir, meaning regarding the case of chametz, which is a biblical prohibition of having b'al yirah, b'al matzah, are we going to say that same type of thing, that we don't have to check the house because we're going to assume that the matzah one was taken into the one that was already checked? How can we say that? How can we prove that from truma, which only d'rabban? That the Gemara says, no. Atu b'dikas chametz nareis, do you think the checking for chametz is biblical? D'rabbanan hi, it's only mid'rabbanan. Because really, truthfully, minat Torah, just with nullifying in one's heart, is enough to not be over on the issue of the rights of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. And it's only midrabana that we require bedika also, as we had mentioned on the previous staff regarding gzeris that we have, and therefore, that's why we will be Torah lahakel, just like we find by Truma, which rabbinic halacha, and therefore we'll say that the kosher one, the permitted one, went into the permitted one. Same thing over here regarding the bedik of chametz, since ultimately that is only a issur drabanan, we will be toil lahaka and we'll say that the matzah one is the one that went to the house that was already checked.